First, let me say thank you for this opportunity to stand before you and preach the word of God. I do know that we're here with our hearts full of expectations and anticipation. And I do pray as well that as we consider God's word together, God will speak to us. And as we continue with our theme, more or less to do with the whole work of reformation, there's something that we need also to appreciate. That one of the things which the reformers and those who believed and trusted the word of God rediscovered was the priesthood of all believers. And that important tenet of our faith to do with God has called on each and every one of us to a ministry. That God has given to those who are Christians present here at least a gift. And God, not only has he done that, he has equally given you a mission to fulfill. And if you were to ask this question where there where you sit, what is it that you know and are convinced of that this is what God has called me to do? And if we are truly to bring about true transformation through the work of reformation, the whole of us need to acknowledge that we've been called to a specific divine mission. And that mission must be fulfilled by you. What I want to do this evening basically is to remind us, encourage us, and in a way rebuke us and instruct us that at the end of our meeting, we should be able to ask ourselves, what is it that God has called me to? And I want to invite you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture where basically what I'll do is to show and demonstrate to us that each and every member in the body of Christ is an important entity. And therefore, we should and must know our position with regard to what God has called us to do. Definitely God will raise men, maybe above others, for a specific divine purpose, but all of us have been called to be ministers. Turn with me to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, and what Paul does there in Colossians chapter 4, as he closes that wonderful epistle, he does something very beautiful, something very amazing, something very encouraging. And that is by a way of appreciating each and every member of his team. And by doing that, I would want to draw your attention to this one question. What is your position in the ministry and in the mission of the church? Colossians chapter 4, we'll read together from verse 7 through to the end of that passage. Paul writes, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see to it that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Father, we pray as we consider these words that you'll be gracious enough to enable me and to grant to me the joy to declare your word before your people. And at the end of the day, all of us will be able to say, Lord, what is it that you have called me to do? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you see, when you read a passage like this, you start to wonder and to ask yourself questions. A man like the Apostle Paul, called of God, anointed of God, set apart for the work of God, honestly, would such a man need a team? Would such a man need partners? And the answer is yes. And I want to bring to your attention the importance, my dear brothers and sisters, of knowing what God has called you to do in his church. We preach and teach the priesthood of all believers. But let's now take that doctrine and bring it home this evening and ask yourself, what is it that God has called you to minister in the body of Christ? So what the Apostle Paul does, and very interesting, he mentions individuals on his team. He does not just mention the names, he marks them out. He does not just mark them out, he appreciates them. He does not just appreciate them, he points out the area of ministry where he appreciates them. And at the end of the day, you have such a glorious team. A glorious team of men. And I would want to say, because we don't have women here, women who are ministering in the body of Christ. So all I want to do is basically to walk with you in these few passages of Scripture and highlight the importance of knowing your calling, knowing your gifts, knowing your area of service. Only then, dear brothers and sisters, will we bring about true information in our land. It's not through individuals who basically have come up by the grace of God to run alone. We need the whole team to do the work of God. So Paul starts with this category of men whom I'm wondering and asking, maybe some of you, I'm sure you've read and you know something about these men. But notice the kind of men that he brings out, that first category. Men who were bearers of the good news, or men who knew what was happening in the ministry. And they were able to point and put a finger and say, this is what God is doing in our ministry. And they were able to go out and be a source of comfort to others. These are the men whom I would call the come and see men and women who know what God is doing in the church. And they'll be able to say, come and see what God is doing in our midst. And they become a source of encouragement. Listen what Paul says there in verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful brother. minister, a fellow servant. I love how Paul acknowledges, and before he appreciates, he speaks something so dear. You can tell that these men were so dear to Paul. And he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a dear brother. He's not just a brother, he says. He is a faithful minister. He's not just a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant. My friends, listen. You can only say such a thing if you know something about that individual. And if we were to mention and call your name here, and I would say, okay, if there's a Chola here, and say, Chola, a beloved brother, Chola, a faithful minister, Chola, a fellow servant. And notice what he says about Chola, not really Chola, but Tychicus. He says, listen, I am sending him this Tychicus, who is not just a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Wait a minute. This is about ministry. Some of us who are ministers, I'm a minister. I don't think maybe I have people who could be very close and say, this will tell you everything about me. It's a level of humility and openness in the life of the apostle Paul. He will tell you everything about me. Not just about me, listen. He will, and I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Now, I'm wondering, this Tychicus. Now, of course, if we were to go back in the book of Acts, you notice you meet Tychicus there in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. You meet Tychicus there in Acts chapter 19, verse 29. You meet Tychicus there as one of those who accompanied Paul. He was on the team of the Apostle Paul. And his area of ministry, and time and again when you meet Tychicus, and I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, when you meet Tychicus, his area of ministry, he was always a bearer of what God was doing. Chapter 6. Of Ephesians and verse 21. But that you may also know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, who make all the things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Tychicus, brothers and sisters, Tychicus knew his area of calling. Tychicus, on the team of the Apostle Paul, knew his mission. He is the one who would come, for example, here in Lusaka. We've received somebody we've sent somewhere in Saudi Arabia, and say, I've got somebody who is working with me. He comes over there. He will tell you everything so that you will be what? Comforted. The chaos area of ministry was to bear the good news, to encourage the brethren with what God is doing. These are men and women whom I often call the come and see ministry. This is what God is doing in our ministry. And you can only say such a thing if you are actively involved in the work of God. Tychicus was in the company of the Apostle Paul. It's not just Tychicus, notice. There is another beautiful, wonderful man. This is a very interesting character in verse 9. He says, Tychicus with Onesimus. And I love the way Paul describes Onesimus. He doesn't start by saying a beloved brother. He starts by saying a faithful and beloved brother. You know Tychicus. You need to make sure up front you tell people. He's not the same what? Onesimus. He's not the guy whom you have this reputation that is a thief. He's a turned man. He's a converted man. He's a faithful and beloved brother. Now, Onesimus, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. And I'm asking myself, what Paul does there, he picks the name, acknowledges the man, appreciates the man, and he states the area of ministry in that person. Now, it can only take one who is a humble leader, who knows how to lift others up, who knows how to appreciate others, who knows also what it means to share his life with other people. That man qualifies to be like the Apostle Paul said. They will tell you everything about our affair and what the Lord is doing in our midst. Now, Paul moves on to a second category of men, and there you notice quickly in verse 10 through to 11, it says, there is also another man called Aristarchus. This is my fellow prisoner. He greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. Basically saying, who are the Jews? And Paul says, these men have proved to be a comfort to me. Now, friends, you're asking this man called the Apostle Paul, does Paul really need any comfort? Does he need any comfort? The champion, the apostle, a man to whom God had revealed great, great mysteries. The man who at one point even says, I had gone up there in the heavens of heavens and God revealed to me things which, if I told you, would not even comprehend. Does such a man need anyone to comfort him? Honestly, he is human. And what Paul does, he wants now to acknowledge, not just to acknowledge, to appreciate, not just to appreciate, but also to state the area of ministry. These are men who were great comforters in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Listen to me, at Aristarchus, he calls him a fellow prisoner. A fellow prisoner. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20 so that you appreciate that this man called Aristarchus. In Acts chapter 20, we read in verse 4. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 20. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also, Aristarchus of Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Deb, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. If you just stand there on your left in chapter 19 and verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion, and they rushed into the theater with one accord and seized Gaius and Aristarchus. Now, this man, on the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he experienced what it means to suffer for the cause of the gospel. And Paul calls him a fellow prisoner. And I want to believe he was not just using the word a fellow prisoner. It's somebody who had experienced what it meant to suffer for the cause of the gospel. And this man, the Apostle Paul says, he is sending greetings to you He's sending greetings to you. And then he quickly moves on to another young man called Mark. But on my ministry team, I've got this young man called Mark. Now, this young man called Mark, basically, the author of the Gospel of Mark, a cousin, better put it, a nephew of Barnabas. The church in Jerusalem met in his mother's house, Acts chapter 12 and verse 13, verse 12. This is the young man whom you remember at one time left poor. And Paul was not in good books with this young man. At one point, they had this tension between Paul and Barnabas. And Paul said, I'm not interested in such cowards. But listen, this young man, the ministry of Barnabas, having been built up, gained a lot of confidence, focus, and knowing his area of ministry and calling, the Apostle Paul includes Mark to be one who had proved to be a comfort to Paul. Now, friends, when you think of serving the Lord, sometimes you might not even realize how difficult it is until you get there at the battlefront. And Paul is saying, on my ministry team, I've got men who comfort me. Men like this young man called Mark. He is of great comfort to me. Not just that young man. There's also another one called Justus. Now, I love Justus. All that is mentioned about him is that he and Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. What Paul is saying, these are fellow Jews. But these men have proved to be a comfort to me. Friends, you may not be the bearer of the good news. You may not be the man, the woman who goes out to tell people what God is doing. But maybe your area of ministry and calling is to be a source of comfort. You know, church looks good when you are the way we are gathered. But when you start meeting people at a personal level, then you start slowly to discover that people who are crushed, who are broken, people who are hurting, people who are so angry with themselves and with everybody. People who need you to be a source of comfort. Paul, on his team, he had men whom he could say, these have proved to be a comfort to me. Let me ask a question before I move on. You may be asking yourself, and if I were to ask you a question, what is it that we can talk about you? What is it that we can talk about you? I know we have this tradition and tendency at a funeral, and you want to give all these nice tributes. If you're a Christian and you say, anyway, he was a good man, he was whatever. But friends, that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear specific area of ministry where God has called you to serve. We can't speak of priesthood of all believers simply because you attend a Bible study. We want to say, wow, Chola has proved to be of great comfort. And if men and women were to stand up and say, yes, he comforted me, she comforted me. And Paul is doing all this to show us that each and every one of us matter in the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us is important in the ministry. Each and every one of us has a calling and area of ministry. Paul does not end there. You know, friends, we will not all be preachers. will not be all be teachers. Paul moves on and says there are men who are preachers on their knees. And he moves on to another category of men on his team. And he goes on to say in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In fact, Paul goes on to say, for I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Now, friends, if I were to dramatize it, here is Epaphras. And Paul out there in Ephesus, and they're trying to storm them and so forth. They look around, where is Epaphras? We can't see him. Because Paul, closely associated with Epaphras, he knows he's somewhere on his knees pleading before the Lord. You call people, let's go out for A, B, C, D. And then you look around, where is that brother? Where is that sister? Because you know and have identified the area of ministry. Paul was able to say, friends, I can vouch for him. In the area of prayer, we can depend and trust on this man called Epaphras. You know, you can't miss men and women who are serving the Lord. You can't miss it. You would know these are good bearers of the word of God. You can't miss it that these are great comforters. You can't miss it and say, Chola. I bear witness. He is such a fervent and zeal for prayer. Because you attend the prayer meeting. No. These are people who come and say, Pastor Mbewe, Pastor Kau, Brother So, what are the areas of need I want to pray for you? These are people who look for opportunities to have a prayer list. And when they say, I'm praying for you, these you can confidently say in your heart, they are truly doing what? Praying for you. May the good Lord deliver us from telling lies. We are praying for you. We are praying for you. And you are not praying. Hear how Paul describes him. He says, you see, this man is a born servant of Christ. And he's not laboring preaching the word of God. He's laboring on his knees. And as he labors on his knees fervently for you, that you may be complete in all the will of God. And Paul is saying, you know, this man called Epaphras is someone you can trust on. I'm just thinking, think of the team of the apostle Paul, just this team he had as he passed through Thessalonica and all these places. He knows Tychicus. Go and tell the guys in Jerusalem of what God is doing. I know you tell exactly what's happening here. No exaggerations. Mark, Aristarchus, Justus, stay around here. I need you. You know, sometimes well, this has small temper. I need you. You know, sometimes, even as an apostle, there are times I feel very discouraged. I need you. He was not just saying things which are not true. He was comforted. When he looked at Epaphras, he could say, wow, issues of prayer, we have got Epaphras. He's ministering on his knees. That the word of God may find room and bear fruit in the ministry of those who may God have called to stand and declare the word of God. Listen how Paul time and again requested for prayer in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3. And I'm sure if, say, Epaphras was around there, he would know that the guy who take the prayer item seriously, it's Epaphras. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. You know, prayer items are sent. We stick prayer items there. And you would know, Paul would simply say, where is Epaphras? I'm a strong believer that God calls us differently. He enables us differently. That's why we call the diversity of gifts in the body of Christ. And I'm humbly speaking to us as Reformed Baptists. Let's not close up. God has gifted men and women in his church. And others, he may have given them this passion to agonize, to pray. Let's not run and quickly defend when you hear people, those are intercessors. Yes, it's pleading and interceding and pleading and interceding. Paul was able to say, listen, he says, I know that this man labors fervently for you in prayers. What does it mean to labor fervently? You can tell he agonizes and prays and prays and prays. We need on our teams men and women who are prayer warriors. They take note of what God is doing and they take that on their knees and bring it before God, that men and women may find and meet Christ Jesus, and that their souls may be complete and mature in their faith. Epaphras. Friends, where are the Epaphrases in our churches? Where are the Marks who comfort people? Where are the Tikeas who are able to deliver and tell people what God is doing? Should it always be one or two people who write whatever we call news about the church? Everyone is called to something. Everyone is called to something. But notice with me, it's not just Epaphras. He moves on to two men of great contrast. And in verse 14, he says, is this another category? Very interesting. And all he says, look, the beloved physician. Wait a minute. Look, the beloved physician. Luke should be said the beloved historian. He wrote the whole Acts. He wrote everything about Paul. The whole gospel of Luke. And all you say, beloved, what? Tell us more about this man. Why pick Luke and talk about his profession? Huh? Why talk about his profession? Dr. Luke, the physician. Friends, I know, and I don't want to speculate, but I believe Dr. Luke, like Dr. David Livingstone, carried the first aid what? Box. I know it's not always that Paul performed miracles to pray you be healed in Jesus' name. I know. There are times when Dr. Luke says, the waters we drank at Berea, they were not good. But I know that there's one or two things we can do to help out. Paul, just go, don't waste time, I'll sort out this. I'm a physician. True. Why call him Luke, the physician? Friends, the body of Christ, what I'm seeing here are human beings, not just souls. Human beings who have physical needs. Human beings whose physical needs and material needs may even crush their spiritual vitality. True or false? True. Human beings whom we should treat as human beings. And they need to be attended to as human beings. And Paul acknowledges Luke, the physician. I appreciate you, Luke. One or two guys take us at a headache and I don't know what concoction you did. We didn't need to waste time praying. And I take us on his knees. And on his feet running. Friends, where is the church? Where is a church that has eyes to see human beings created in the image of God, whose needs, material, financial needs to be met? Where is a church? And Paul acknowledges. And it's important to look at fellow brothers and sisters as human beings. I remember a story now. This is a true story. Some of these churches where you find people are very rich. So this young brother was broke. And he went to ask for money. And it was then, before we removed the zeros, 50,000 kwacha. Let's say 50 kwacha. Says, borrow me, I'll pay back. So he looks and says, 50 kwacha. If you said 50,000, not 50 kwacha. 50 kwacha. I don't come and borrow 50 kwacha. That was the end of the story. End of what? So that man told me this story. Pastor Kabo, this is what he told me. Sure, did he give you? No. And we were so crushed. And one time, you know, these churches where sometimes you have Lord's Supper every Sunday, and it's so open that anyone can stand and say something. And so he stood to share his testimony and to encourage people before they broke the bread. And all he said is, in this church, there's no love. There's no what? Love. You don't care. You may have the nice theology, look very holy, sing well. There's no love. Friends, believers are human beings with physical look, the beloved physicians. Where are the men and women whom God has graciously gifted with that heart of compassion to feel and walk with those who are crushed? Where are they? You know what? We don't need church programs sometimes to have a ministry for hope, a ministry for compassion. God has gifted us. And he has given us abilities. And I want to say, once he gives you, he also builds capacity in you. According to the area of what? Gifts. Wait a minute. I say these are the two men of great contrast. And oh, he said, and he says, and Demas greets you. Wait a minute now. This is becoming serious. Tell us something about us. If he's on your team, you're not being fair. Tikeas, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant. Oh, Mark, these guys have proved to be a great comfort to me, a prayer for us. Oh, always praying for you, that you may grow in the things of God. Look, the beloved physician, Demas greets you. Our friend, listen, you're laughing. You could be a Demas right now. We have nothing to talk about concerning your life. You may even try to say, I belong to that great church. Things are happening. Wait a minute. Paul is picking out individuals. You could be a Demas seated here. You could be a Demas. Maybe you have so many Demases. If we're to come up here and say, okay, some kind of tribute about this guy, then you start to say, Pastor Kabo, can we get his testimony? Where's the testimony? And then you go and get in the file of the testimony. Okay. And anything we can say about and those are the Demases. True. We've nothing. And all will simply say, greets you. And maybe sometimes we need to be very honest, brothers and sisters, as we bury some of these our dear friends who leave us, and simply say, Chola has departed. Anything, departed. Before we become liars. Paul is telling us we need to be truthful and faithful. And what Paul is doing, basically, maybe to encourage us to say, you know, there are Demases. You know what happened to Demas, eh? Demas has done what? love the world, and he has deserted me. You can tell even from here, even before Paul tells us, that Demas somehow is growing cold in the area of ministry. These are people you encourage and encourage and encourage. Give responsibilities. You come back, any report, pastor, you know, and so forth. Okay. There come a time when you simply say, Demas, reach you. And he has departed. Now, wait a minute. You're laughing. Some of you could be actually Demases here. We speak of the priesthood of all believers. One of those things that recover in terms of reformation, the priesthood of all believers. What we believe, especially Baptists, priesthood of all believers, priesthood of all believers. What does it mean? I want to say it means what Paul is saying here. We've got different areas of ministry, calling, and gifts. But there are others who are simply Demases. Wait a minute, this is the way the Apostle Paul concludes. And he tells us, I'll just jump out of verse 15 and just rush to verse 17. And say to Archippus. Now he's writing and telling Archippus out there, who basically was one of the pastors there. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. What Paul has been saying and telling us, not to cares, he knows his position in the Lord. And he's faithfully delivering. And that's why he's called a faithful minister. Mark, of great comfort. Epaphras, fulfilling his ministry. Luke, physical area, and also busy checking things in an orderly manner, but more so physical ministry. Demas, we're not sure. Brethren, here is a word I want to leave with you. When Paul tells and writes to church at Colossae, and he says, say to Archippus to take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord. I want you to replace Archippus with your name. Which ministry have you received in the Lord? We are all ministers. We are all ministers. We are all missionaries. But which area of ministry have you received in the Lord? On that day, if we are to speak of your life and ministry in your local church, what are we going to say? Do you know what God has given to you as a gift to minister with and to love him? Tell Archippus to take heed. You can only take heed if you know what God has called you to do. And you can only fulfill that ministry if you know it. I don't want to say here, a number of Christians, not here, elsewhere, are like Demas. They don't even know what God has called them to, what God has gifted them with, and their mission here on earth. No clue. They're just on a team. Fulfill your ministry. Now, you may be thinking, what about Paul himself? As I conclude, let me speak concerning the man Paul. Now, friends, you need to be a humble leader. A humble what? Leader. Who would be able to acknowledge people you might, or other people might think these are non-entities, but you're able to say, Onesimus. Onesimus. Able to tell people, Paul, Mark, to be of comfort to you. Mark. It takes a humble leader who acknowledges Christians that they have gifts and God has gifted them and they matter on that team. Friends, it takes a leader like Paul who does not just mention names, but he states the area of ministry. Somebody who is able to identify acknowledge, and appreciate. Now, friends, I want to speak to us before we conclude. All of us present here, all of us, and I'm speaking to Christians who are actively ministering, whichever area God has called you to, there's somebody who identified you. Somebody identified you. Somebody picked you. Somebody saw you. And somebody called you along to be who you are today. There is always somebody. Always there's somebody. And this is what I want you to do. Have you ever said thank you to that person? Have you ever appreciated that person? He or she may be here very far away. Somebody. And I remember I can talk proudly of a man called Michael Flam. I was in Kasama. And after our pastor left, he said, "Pastor Kabwe, I think you can do this." I said, "I can't. You can do this." Ever gone to him and said, "Thank you. I know somebody identified you, appreciated you, and encouraged you." Have you ever said thank you to such a person? What Paul is saying is simply saying, "Thank you, brothers. Tim, thank you. Tim, wow, we've done it." But wait a minute. There where you are, do you know someone who needs to be picked up, who needs to be acknowledged, appreciated, and to walk along with him or with her? Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone? If your mind is blank, we are not doing ministry. Ministry is about people, not programs. There should be somebody around you. You know whom you should pick out. Acknowledge them. And state what you have seen in them, because it's present in them. That's what Paul does. We are all priests, ministers, and missionaries. Let's go out there and do likewise. Amen.